Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, who is God's Son, the bread of life sent from heaven. Amen. I want to share with you the connection that I see between these two lessons. The first, the gospel lesson, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with a few pieces of fish and a few loaves of bread. And the people followed him. They asked, what must we do to perform the works of God? And that's at the heart of the passage from the letter to the Ephesians. This summer, we spent about a month and a half going through the book of Ephesians. And I had said that this verse, chapter 4, verse 1, is the heart, the focus of the whole letter. Before that, the author explains what God has done for us. Creation, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of life after death. And here in verse 1 of the 4th chapter, it says, I therefore beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. We do that by the works of God. We don't need to do these works. They're not for our salvation. We don't do these works for God. We do good works because our neighbor needs good works. They don't earn our forgiveness. We're already forgiven. We need only to trust in God. As Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in He who was sent. We do good works for the sake of our neighbor, not for our own sake. It's at the heart of the understanding of the Lutheran tradition. It's what we're called to do. It is our vocation. Now, in addition to writing a lot about our vocation, Luther wrote the Small Catechism. Luther wrote the Small Catechism so it could be used at home, that it would be taught at home to young people so that they could understand their faith and understand what we are called to do the works of God. Now we use it at the heart of our confirmation ministry. These young people sitting up here in the front pew have spent part of the last 2 years learning about the Small Catechism. Now, unlike many of you, when you were confirmed, they did not have to memorize it. But I want them to know it, to make it a part of their daily lives. And so something that was a large part of what we did was something that the ELCA developed a few years ago as part of their curriculum for one of the youth gatherings. It's called the 7 Faith Practices of a Disciple. And it's on this red sheet that's in your bulletin. One side has Bible verses that these young people have said is important to them. The other side has the 7 faith practices. And here's what they are: pray, study, worship, invite, encourage, serve, and give. Now, they're all pretty basic things. There's nothing revolutionary there. Those are things that I think that we should be able to do on a daily basis. Pray, study, worship, invite, encourage, serve, and give. But we don't. Those are 7 easy faith practices that we can do, but we don't. And I truly believe that our failure to do these things are at the heart of why church attendance and church participation across the globe is decreasing. Because we don't view these things as being important enough to do every day. I don't want to offend anybody or embarrass anybody, but we don't. Look at the first one, pray. Not that hard to do. I think everybody should agree, we should pray daily. Do you? One of the things that I ask this group of kids and the group before them and the group before them and the group before them, I do exit interviews. I meet with them when the school year starts to talk about what did you learn over the previous 2 years. By that time, I think we've developed a sense of trust that they're going to tell me the truth. They know that I'm not going to judge them. I may have a remark or a suggestion, but I'm not going to criticize them for what they do and what is at the heart of their lives. Over the past 3 years, less than half of the people who have been and will be confirmed say that they pray on a daily basis. At all. Now, I'm kicking myself for that. These are kids who I've spent a lot of time with, and they don't pray on a daily basis. And so I'm doing some things differently, and we'll be doing things differently in confirmation to explain how important I think daily prayer is. But in the 2 years that I spent with these young people, I spent maybe 75 hours with them. And they're 14, 15-year-olds. Before I became a pastor, I spent 17 years in public education. One of the givens in public education is that if something is valued and reinforced at home, it leads to student success. If when students come home and meet with their parents, the parents ask what happened in school, take an honest interest, ask about homework, help with homework, value education, the students tend to do better. And that's the same whether the education comes from a public school or is part of Christian education. Our Sunday school, vacation Bible school, confirmation, and everybody else who does educational ministries can do awesome things, but if it's not reinforced at home, it's like leaving a plant to be without water. Pray on a daily basis. Say a prayer before a meal. Say a prayer before you go to bed. As you're reaching over to hit the snooze alarm for the fourth or fifth time, thank God that you woke up. Pray for those who you care about. Pray for those who you love. Pray for the good things that you have. Pray for the relief that you long for. Pray for those who you don't like. I've been here a little over 6 years. And I'm pretty sure that people here know which way I lean politically. I pray for those who make my blood boil. It is not an easy thing to do, but it is a wonderful discipline because I need to remember that those people who, hearing their voice on TV, make my blood pressure shoot through the ceiling, are a child of God, made in the image of God, just as I am. And that they are doing their best. And I need to pray that they succeed for all of our benefit. Study the scriptures. One of the very first homework assignments that the confirmation class has, find the Bibles in your house. Bring one of them to class next week. For those who have cell phones or pads or tablets, I have them download one onto their phone or tablet. Because it's important to study scripture. And it's not just important for them, it's important for all of us to understand who this God who loves us is. So I encourage you, go home, find your Bible, open it, start reading. I don't care where. I would suggest not starting in the book of Revelation. But if you want to, that's great. My phone number's in the bulletin if you got questions. I encourage you to start somewhere. Start at the beginning of Genesis. Start with one of the Gospels. We're going to be going through the Gospel of John after Christmas. You can get a head start on it. Start with a letter to the Ephesians. If you have problems praying, start with the Psalms. The Psalms are songs and prayers put in poetic form. Worship. Give thanks to God that you got up this morning. Give thanks to God for all that God has given to you. I know people are busy. I know how much people are doing. I know that Sunday morning is probably the only time that you have to rest and to sleep in. If you like to sleep in, we have an 11 o'clock service at Emmanuel. Let you hit the snooze for a little bit or set the alarm a little bit later. But if Sunday mornings is not working for people, I'm saying this to all three congregations, and I expect you to hold me to this. If Sunday mornings don't work, tell me what does. I'll add a fourth service. If it's Wednesday night, if it's Saturday night, if it's Tuesday morning, tell me what works for people. It's important for people to worship together. Invite someone. Okay, I'm going to admit, this is a hard one. Of the seven, this is the toughie. Invite someone. But have you ever shared a cookie recipe? Have you ever told somebody where the best fishing hole is? Where there's a sale on gas? If you're willing to share that information with others to benefit their lives, why won't you encourage them to be part of a worshiping community? Encourage someone. Don't tear them down. Don't make fun of them. When someone's struggling, encourage them. Support them. Serve those in need. You guys, all three churches have this one taken care of a dozen times over. Over the past 3.5 weeks, we've had a Swiss steak dinner, made apple pies, and had a lutefisk dinner. When there's a need, people come together. Now, the one thing about that is there are people who the only time I see them all year is at the lutefisk dinner, making apple pies, or at the Swiss steak dinner. Because that's the only time they come to church. And you know what? Why it's the only time you come to church? Because somebody invited them. For the love of God, if we can ask people to help serve lutefisk, can we not ask them to join in worship to share thanks and praise to the God who made lutefisk and other good things? And the last is to give. I know times are tight. I know budgets are tight. But you don't have to give of your financial resources. If you can, awesome. But give of yourself. What do you have in abundance? Is there a skill that you can share? Is there an ability that you have? Do you have extra time? Can you make time to share with young people, whether they are yours or others, to let them know how important God is to you? Can you take time to help with Sunday school? Or it's a few months off, vacation Bible school. I know I could use some help on Wednesday nights. If it is important to you and you show it, it's important to them. We're all called to share of the gifts that we have. That is our vocation. And there's seven simple things that can be done by anyone and everyone each and every day. Pray, study, worship, invite, encourage, serve, give. If you are willing to do them, I tell you this, and then I mean this absolutely, if you do these on a regular basis, it will change your life. Because you will see a world that is possible. You will see what can happen. And if you start doing them, your life will change and will never be the same because you want to see that world come to be. I, a prisoner of the Lord, therefore beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Amen. Our hymn is number 655.